Mornings and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. An uncrewed SpaceX mega Starship rocket that blasted off from Texas came apart over the Indian Ocean. CBS News space consultant Bill Harwood.
They had a propellant leak that put the craft in a slow spin. Flight controllers could not control it. That ruled out a controlled descent to splash down, which means it inevitably was going to break up in the atmosphere.
Patience over the Ukraine war is wearing thin among lawmakers on Capitol Hill. CBS's Natalie Brand.
There's a bipartisan bill introduced in the Senate by Senators Lindsey Graham and also Richard Blumenthal that would impose maximum sanctions on Russia if Russia does not come to the negotiating table.
Looking for the best car for your teenage driver? U.S. News and World Report's out with a new list.
The Kia Soul, Hyundai Tucson and Elantra, Honda Civic, Subaru Forester and Toyota Corolla and Camry all making the cut.
That's WWJ's Jeff Gilbert, CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Work on a new bill to help victims of crimes and disasters is underway at the state capitol. Lisa Hale has the story.
Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin and a bipartisan group of lawmakers have introduced new legislation aimed at providing tax relief to victims of crimes and disasters. The bill, dubbed the Tax Relief for Victims of Crimes, Scams, and Disasters Act, would reinstate a tax deduction for residents with stolen or destroyed assets. The bill would apply to personal casualty losses from things like storms and fires, as well as theft losses from things like scams or robberies. The legislation will now be introduced by a bipartisan group in the House of Representatives.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has an announcement. Brittany Merlot tells us more about the Rare Plant Monitoring Program's 2025 Plant of the Year.
This year, the agency is encouraging us to plant milkweed in our yards. There are 13 native milkweed species in Wisconsin, and 5 of them are listed as endangered, threatened, or under special concern. Milkweed is especially helpful for monarch butterflies, as the only plants the butterflies lay their eggs on and the only food the caterpillars eat. And if you want, you can find native milkweed plants on the DNR's website.
The Village of Port Edwards is asking residents to weigh in with their thoughts about local transportation needs and safety. The Village Board would like to hear from families and caregivers on the safety of routes that children take to school. This will help direct resources for future improvements to walking and biking paths, crosswalks, and traffic patterns near schools. You can find the link for the survey on the Village of Port Edwards Facebook page. It will be available until June 8th. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
A walk-off win for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Bottom of the 10th. Score tied 1-1. The Brewers' Christian Yelich at the plate on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Fly ball to deep right! It is way back! First career walk-off home run for Yelich!
A 400-yard shot to center field. The Brewers winning 5-1 last night. Manager Pat Murphy.
He's been swinging the bat great. Yeah. Special night for him.
Christian Yelich, on what kind of a pitch did he see from the Red Sox, Liam Hendricks?
You know, kind of just caught a slider, right? And a big win for us. You know, we battled the whole time, and great team win all around.
The series wrapping up today. College football. Former Badgers wide receiver Quincy Burroughs signed by Western Kentucky. NFL, Packers OTAs continue in Green Bay without Jair Alexander or center Elton Jenkins. Both players in talks to renegotiate their contracts. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers, maybe an isolated thunder shower this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 60s to low 70s with wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight will drop to 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warmer, 74 by Friday. Mostly sunny with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now it's 55.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though. Because
probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Trigvi Olson, The Lincoln Project, and Pat Kreitlow of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow joins us to talk about priorities Wisconsin might have in the state budget. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
All right, the coffee cup has been refilled. Let's do this. Third hour of the program today on this Wednesday morning, May 28th, live from Lake Wissota. Let's see, we've got Parker Olson on the board, and Greg is back in 1 hour, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is standing by to update the forecast for us. We'll be talking to Earl Ingram in just a few moments here. We'll get into the lead problems in Milwaukee and what, if anything, the Trump administration is doing about it, or what they say they're doing about it. We may get into a very high-profile murder trial that's about to get started in Milwaukee as well. Dan Schaefer still ahead. We may talk to James Kelly from Chippewa Falls about stories that he's following for Civic Media too. And the Brewers got a big walk-off home run, grand slam from Christian Yelich to beat the Brewers yesterday, 5-1 in 10 innings. So on that happy note, let's go to meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Because the weather is, well, look, it's a little rainy. It's quite damp here in Chippewa Falls, actually, as well. But there's still a need for the rain before, especially if we've got a big warm spell coming up, right?
I agree. Yes. We are still, 5% of the state is in a drought that is far south in the state, right along the state line. So you can use every single drop. There is still abnormally dry conditions, both far north and far south. Good chunk of the central parts of the state, we're good to go, but, you know, we could always use extra rainfall. We're not looking at too much today, only about a quarter of an inch. You've already seen that in places just south of La Crosse already this morning. This line is pretty much extending from Eau Claire all the way through Madison and then down into Chicago this morning. It is going to continue to lift north through the state late this morning, through this afternoon, and then we could see some spotty small storms start to spark up later this afternoon, maybe around 3 to 5 or so. Those are not expected to be strong or severe, but we could see some more moderate rainfall with those. Now, of course, it's going to be darker and damp and kind of dreary all day today. The winds are barely moving. Temperatures are very comfortable, anywhere from about 50 to 60 degrees right now. And then highs today will reach the mid-60s far south. You're going to be a little bit cooler with that rain out there. And then about 70 up north. That's the highs for today. And of course, the rain stops by tomorrow. It'll be done by midnight, actually, but the sun will be peeking out tomorrow in full force as we go into the weekend. We will keep getting warmer. More humidity and mugginess is going to start to seep in by Friday. And then by next week, it is going to be feeling like summer. We're going to be dripping sweat with the humidity and heat headed our way, because we're looking at mid-80s with dew points in the mid-70s next week.
Ooh. Really?
Ooh. Yes.
So this weekend is kind of the Goldilocks end of all of this, which
pretty much
for a whole bunch of people who are planning graduation parties or weddings or anything like that, you are their hero. So,
oh, good. You know, good. Yeah. Yes. It's fantastic. Nothing but sunshine, dry conditions, perfect temperatures.
Perfect.
This weekend's fantastic.
That's great. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You're welcome.
Talk
you
to you
too.
Later. Hey, by the way, if you ever miss one of our previous hours, the 6 a.m. hour, the 7 a.m. hour, you want to listen back to a guest that was on, you can always head to civicmedia.us. And right there, we put all of the shows on the website, and you can call them up as individual each hour. is its own episode. So you don't have to listen to like a 3-hour show. You can listen to, you know, just the 6 a.m. hour, for example, and catch something that you missed. All the show descriptions are on there. We tell you who the guests were. And you could get this by podcast as well. And I'd say go over to Spotify. I actually just became a Spotify customer recently. And you can catch our podcast that way or through Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. However you do it, we'd love to have you take us along so that you can listen on demand on those days when you can't happen to catch it on the radio. And yes, Tony says, how about on YouTube too? Yes, we could. You could watch it on YouTube live and comment as Tony and Cassandra and everybody else does throughout the course of the morning. You can add your comments too. And as far as show highlights go on YouTube, well, that's my next project for Tony, is just to make like the 10-minute condensed version, all the really funny stuff. Well, the really funny stuff would be a 3-minute show, but we'd put some guest stuff in there too. So maybe we go about doing that. Reminder to reach the show, not just in the comment sections on YouTube or Facebook, but you can call or text us 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, and use that Civic Media app to call or text us as well. Let's bring Earl Ingram into the program now to talk about a couple of matters that he's following in the Milwaukee area for Civic Media. Earl, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, Pat. How are you?
I'm great. It's so nice to have you along here. And I want to start first with the whole lead paint, lead in the water situation there, especially in light of the comments by Health and Human Services Secretary Robert Kennedy, who said something along the lines to a CNN anchor of, you know, we've got a team in Milwaukee working on this. And Earl, it took about 8 seconds for that to be proven not to be the case. And I feel like that illustrates in a nutshell the ongoing problems Milwaukee's having finding allies to get this lead problem rid of once and for all.
So before I respond to what Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said, I think we need to clarify a couple things. Number one, the lead crisis is a national crisis.
True.
And so people link Milwaukee to the lead crisis. And the problem with that is they fail to understand that this is all over the nation. It's in rural America. It's in urban centers. And yet, because it's connected to urban centers, I think people are not looking at what's taking place in their own backyards. And so what we plan on doing, I know in the coming weeks and months, is putting together a national series, 12-part series, that's going to have the top scientists and doctors across this nation to express and explain and wake people up to the scourges of lead paint and lead in the water that's all over this nation that's causing mayhem. And the fact that we have a nation that's covering all of this up, we have politicians and others on both sides of the equation who have refused to address this lead issue. And so as long as it's considered to be a Milwaukee problem and an urban problem, it's not getting the necessary exposure that it should be receiving.
Earl, you are 100% correct, and I should have made that clear from the very beginning as well. I've just become so used to the antagonism or antipathy toward Milwaukee from legislators that, frankly, even in asking the question, I bought into the framing rather than acknowledging that when Republican legislators said a couple of years back, well, most of the money would go to Milwaukee, what they were really doing was they were saying that for some of the communities in their own districts that you didn't even count, that we're so anti-Milwaukee that we will ignore the lead problem in the rest of the state just to spite, you know, the state's biggest city.
Well, you know, you're talking to a guy who's 70 years old, who's lived in Milwaukee for all 70 of those years, born in Milwaukee, and will die in Milwaukee. And so I know all of those things that have been going on at infinitum in this state, and the fact that they can ignore what is taking place in our city. It's kind of ridiculous, considering that only 38.6% of Milwaukee is black, and so the rest of it is white, a majority. And so when you look at it from a jaundiced eye, you don't just punish the people of color in the city of Milwaukee. You punish all the other residents as well. And I will say this to you, Pat. When people, I think people fail to understand that exposure to lead can affect multiple body systems, and in particularly harmful to young children. We constantly talk about all of the crime and all of those things that are taking place in the city of Milwaukee. There's the statistical evidence that will point to the fact that for generations, children have been poisoned by lead in this city, as it is even in rural America. We talk about right now Milwaukee Public Schools and what's happening there. Well, I would say that people need to look at the schools wherever they are. Any building that was built before 1970 contains lead. And so people are being contaminated. And the scourges of lead and what it leads to, especially in pregnant women and their fetuses and the babies, is a tragedy. And the fact that our nation says it can't afford to eradicate the scourges of lead are unacceptable. When you talk about the fact that children who are our future, what can be more valuable than the future of your nation, are being poisoned by this, and we're the wealthiest nation on earth, and yet we don't seem to be concerned enough about the future of our children, which are the future of our nation, that we work collectively to eradicate this.
And you talk about buildings built before 1970. My goodness, there are like four or six Milwaukee Public School buildings still in use that were built not before 1970, before 1900, that are still in use and obviously still have these lead paint issues because they face the budget pressures that come from a legislature that is insisting on budget austerity and, you know, sticking it to Milwaukee, as, you know, Tommy Thompson famously said all those years ago. So this is a national concern. This is something that the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services should be paying attention to. So when Secretary Robert Kennedy made that false claim about helping out in Milwaukee, again, it only adds insult to injury and shows us, in my mind, we have an HHS secretary that, for all of the other questionable views that he has, either does not know the seriousness of the lead issue or doesn't care. And I'm not sure which is worse.
So Milwaukee Public Schools has 156 schools. And when you talk about the being able to somehow go back and track those 156 schools and determine which ones are lead laden and which ones aren't, is going to take over a decade. And so it's not just what is happening now. It's the fact that generations have come through that situation and have been poisoned by lead. And when we talk about crime as this big issue and we want to build more jails and lock people up, it's like fool's gold. Because as long as you're poisoning generations of children, part of the problem with children being exposed to lead is the damage that it does to their brains, especially in the early development of those children. And so when you look at the damage that's being done, it's nonsensical to me that the cost that we wind up having to pay down the road by not fixing this problem early on is where we are now. And so when you see so many young people whose lives have been turned inside out and upside down because of the scourges of lead, then you understand the impact and why this has to change.
Oh, it so does. From the legislature, from the Trump administration on down, Earl Ingram is talking to us much more about that. Also coming up in this hour, we'll be talking to Dan Schaefer, Civic Media political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, and much more. And then, of course, tomorrow, we've got some of our usual friends on there. Joe Zepecki is joining us, Chad Holmes. We'll also talk to Jeremy Granger from Wisconsin Action. A lot coming up here. Live from Lake Wissota. Hey, thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
The Trump administration has announced tariffs on trade with other countries. While there has been a lot of uncertainty as to how these policies will evolve, it's generally agreed that tariffs can be inflationary, and they have also sparked volatility in the financial markets. How should you respond to tariffs as an investor? Try to build and maintain a diversified portfolio. Tariffs will likely hit some industries harder than others, so consider spreading your dollars among an array of stocks, bonds, and other securities. Diversification cannot guarantee a profit or protect against a loss, but at any given time, some asset classes may be up or not hit as hard as others. Finally, follow a long-term strategy based on your risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. You'll be better equipped to cope with market gyrations that can result from tariffs or from any other event.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Wherever you are in Wisconsin, there's a free and confidential Aging and Disability Resource Center, ADRC, or Tribal Partner Agency. We're here for older adults, adults with disabilities, and your families. ADRCs are a bridge to support for benefits and financial assistance, transportation, in-home care, and more. Get to know your local ADRC and connect with resources today. Call toll-free 1-844-WIS-ADRC or go to findmyadrc.org. Paid for by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Destination marketing organizations are working to ensure Wisconsin tourism is stronger than ever. Their work boosts Wisconsin's economy, supports jobs, and improves our residents' quality of life. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello all, welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report. I have your host, James J. Mayloff here. Welcoming into the studio some of our favorite people. We have the ODC with us right now. First, want to say a good afternoon to Ann Lepek. Ann, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks for being here. And Ashley is with us. Ashley Nichol is here. Ashley, good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Thanks a lot for being here. Always good to have you guys with us. And the audience has known many, many times how I feel about the ODC. There's no journalistic integrity. Love you guys and appreciate everything you do. I want to also not take too much of your time and just get right into things. And Ashley, I want to dive right into the For Hope Golf benefit going on and touch on this and tell the audience a little bit about this great event.
It was the For Hope Golf benefit was held on May 15th at Sand Valley, and we'd like to thank everyone that participated and sponsored it because it supports our ODC's mental health clinic, Opportunity for Hope. We raised over $25,000, and we'd like to highlight that our clinic is open to the general public, and we have immediate openings, and we take everybody, regardless of income or ability to pay and insurance. And we would also like everyone to like and follow us on our new Facebook page dedicated to Opportunity for Hope. So look for Opportunity for Hope on Facebook.
Ashley, you were so good at this. Nicely done. Well done. I had like questions and you already answered them. I'm like, oh, well done. Well done. First off, I did want to congratulate everybody on a successful event. Everybody at the ODC, certainly all the participants, this community that really makes this a fun event every year. But I also wanted to just ask real quick, did you guys have fun? Did you guys get to go down there, either of you? Did you have a good time?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun taking pictures.
Good, really good. It's always a nice added bonus to these events. Certainly want the community to have fun and certainly want to raise awareness and funds and everything, but it's nice that you guys have a good time too, get out a little bit. And Sand Valley, beautiful over there, so it's almost hard not to have a good time over there. Great to hear. Helps us get ready for next year as well, Ann.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are already scheduled for next year, May 28th or 29th. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think I saw that. Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
And I really do appreciate the way the community comes together for these events and shows that support. I don't think that there's many areas that do what we do around here as well as we do. So very successful, and appreciate all the feedback on this, Ashley. Thank you. Nice work.
Thank you.
Always good talking to you. And we got a lot of other things we wanted to get into as well. I wanted to start with graduation season, because that's where we're in the heart of that right now. Let's get right into that.
Yeah. So there may be some folks that don't realize that we do. Obviously, there are high schools and college graduates. There's lots of graduations going on. ODCs, this is a big time of year for ODC because we also celebrate Project Search graduations. So if you're not familiar with Project Search, it's an employment training program for students and young adults with disabilities. What's unique about it is it takes place at a host business in the community, and it's for a full school year. And so it's a real intense job training program, like I said, for students and young adults with disabilities. So we're real excited to kind of share. We just wrapped those up over the last couple of weeks. So that was real exciting. And we have 8 to 12 individuals at each location that participate in the program. And so I just wanted to shout out that, you know, ODC has 4 Project Search sites locally. And so we're located at Marshfield Medical Center in Marshfield, Aspirus Riverview Hospital here in Wisconsin Rapids, Aspirus Wausau Hospital in Wausau, and then also UWSP in Stevens Point. So we're real fortunate to have those sites.
If I may, just to piggyback off of this, because I was thinking, and I only had a chance to think about it a little bit this morning, but hearing you talk about it as well, a big thank you for all those great places of employment and everything. Also, community leaders. And really that show, you know, of all businesses and that could have something like this, our medical industry really leaning into that is so wonderful to see, and maybe the biggest one we could ask for. So I think that's noteworthy to any other businesses out there, anybody else in nonprofits or anything, any work environment, to keep that in mind. We're talking about this great program.
Yeah. And so really the goal of the program, so individuals participate in 3 10-week internships, all based on kind of their skills, abilities, and interests. And again, the goal upon graduation or shortly after is to find employment, not necessarily in the host business, but it can and does happen, which is awesome. But really then we support individuals to find jobs in the community that meet their needs and that they're an asset to various employers within our communities.
Similar to, we talked about this a lot going into the For Hope Golf benefit and how that's fun. It's a great opportunity for the community, great for the ODC, get out there, raise some awareness and hopefully some funds. But in that conversation, the mental health group, the clinic, we had to talk about, and there's something that's helping the community. It certainly helps the ODC too, but it's such a thing for the community. And here is another thing where it helps the clients at the ODC certainly, and that's that bridge that we need there. But these businesses, I hear from them all the time and how benefited they feel from having these particular employees and what it does for them. Mm-hmm. It's a real winning situation for both.
Yep. We attended all of the graduations and took pictures. So again, check out our Facebook page. All of the graduations are out there in the photos. But that is one theme that we hear all the time from the businesses is that having the individuals within their facility, really makes an impact, not only on their environment, but also with the patients and things that they're supporting as well. So it really is... It's the best time of year to see how far the students have come and what an impact they've made and see them become successful. So
if there is a business that would like to be a part of this next year, is now a good time to be reaching out about that? Or
so they can reach out to us. I guess what I would say is if you're looking to hire someone, right now would be a good time to reach out to us because we do have, although we had 29 individuals graduate. Mm-hmm. I think I'm not exactly sure the numbers of people that have been hired, but we do have people that are looking for jobs that just completed the program.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A bill requiring child sexual abuse prevention programming in Wisconsin schools was approved by the Assembly Committee on Children and Families last week. Appleton Democrat Lee Snodgrass noted it would not apply to private schools. Joanne Krulatz has more.
Oconomowoc Republican Barb Dietrich didn't disagree while citing the recent case of a school bus driver accused of sexually assaulting a six-year-old girl on his bus. Dietrich said it's critical to teach kids safety at an appropriate age and called the bill the start of something very positive. The bill requires school boards to provide at least one instructional session to pupils in 4K through grade 12, specifies what the program must cover, and requires that parents be notified and given the option to exempt their students.
If you are a landowner or forester and you're interested in attracting more birds to your area, there's an upcoming webinar you'll want to check out. The Wisconsin Center for Wildlife is holding Forestry for Birds events in June. They have a webinar on Friday, June 6th, followed by 3 Saturday field days, including one in Portage County. You can learn more and register at the UW Extension website. Several streets will be closed in Marshfield beginning on Friday at 2 p.m. for the annual Dairy Fest celebration. Streets immediately surrounding Columbia Park will be closed. This includes sections of West Blodgett, North Chestnut, West Arnold, and North Walnut. Sections of 2nd and 3rd Street will also be closed in that area. On Saturday, May 31st, streets will be closed for the parade and downtown activities beginning at 7 a.m. These include Central Avenue between Veterans Parkway and 14th Street, along with 14th Street from Central Avenue to Vine Avenue. You can find a full list of Dairy Fest activities at marshfieldchamber.com. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Billie Eilish had an outstanding Memorial Day weekend. She took home an award for every category she was nominated in at the American Music Awards Sunday night, thanks to her album, Hit Me Hard and Soft. Eilish was nominated 7 times, including for Artist of the Year, Album of the Year, Favorite Touring Artist, Favorite Female Pop Artist, and Favorite Pop Album. She also won for Song of the Year and Favorite Pop Song. Beyonce brought home 2 awards for Favorite Female Country Artist, and her somehow controversial album, Cowboy Carter, notched her a Favorite Country Album trophy. Post Malone also now has his first country music award after winning Favorite Male Country Artist. Eminem took home 2 awards for Favorite Male Hip Hop Artist and Favorite Hip Hop Album for the death of Slim Shady. Gracie Abrams won Best New Artist, and Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars won Best Video Collaboration. Mars also won Favorite Pop Musical Artist of the Year. I was shut out again. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy with scattered showers, maybe an isolated thunder shower this afternoon. Our high today in the upper 60s to low 70s with wind out of the east at 5 to 15. Tonight will drop to 50. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warmer, 74 by Friday. Mostly sunny with a high near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'll be joined by Michael Negron, former special assistant to the President for Economic Policy. We'll be talking about the impact of tariffs on small businesses and working families here in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
It's May 28th, but I'm looking way back at an Up North News post from late December that was already previewing some of the top live concerts coming to Wisconsin in 2025. It mentioned, you know, Kelsea Ballerini, who was going to be appearing at Fiserv Forum. There was Cody Johnson, Tyler, the Creator, had a concert coming up, and Justin Timberlake, on and on. It goes for the first part of 2025. It also includes Def Leppard at Summerfest. But it's only grown, especially in the country music area. And in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning, it says country music is dominating Wisconsin's summer concert season like never before. And looks at some of the headliners for the annual Harley Homecoming, has much more of a country feel for it this time around. At the BMO Pavilion in Milwaukee this summer, some of the big stars there booked would be the Avett Brothers, Riley Green, the country band Red Clay Straves. At the Rave in Milwaukee, country breakout star Megan Maroney, her concert has long since sold out. Alpine Valley, which was always a mecca for rock tours, their big concerts so far booked this year are Thomas Rhett, Willie Nelson's Outlaw Music Festival, Tyler Childers, and even Summerfest will include some draws like Lainey Wilson to the amphitheater. And then there is the big one, and that would be Morgan Wallen, with openers Miranda Lambert and Ella Langley headlining the first concert at Camp Randall Stadium in 28 years. And that'll be coming up on June 28th. You've got that. You've got Beyonce winning awards for her country album. It is more country out there than ever before. And Parker, it makes me wonder for somebody like you. I mean, here in Eau Claire, I've been to Country Jam, Country Fest before it changed its name over here in Cadott. Do you have your own experience with some of these many country live country concerts that we have going on around Wisconsin?
I don't think I've ever been to any, but I know a bunch of people who go to Country Thunder, I think it's called. I can't think of where that is. It's somewhere down here. Yeah. And I know a bunch of people that have gone to that. Country is kind of one of those things that is up and coming again, it seems like.
Yes. Sort of. Yeah.
I don't know, but it's an acquired taste, it seems. It's very divisive.
It can be. Well, even in country, and, you know, long before the buzz about Beyonce's album and what's country and how do you define it, you had artists along the way that thought that country was getting too electric. It was getting too rock. I love Shizu on YouTube saying, "And I am a small, bright light of K-pop in my area."
you
represent
go.
Shizu. There is nothing wrong with that. But I do like the fact that you have these venues out here, so many of them, not just for your big names, you know, for Morgan Wallen and Miranda Lambert and all that, but you always get a chance, I think, in country more than in other genres, to see up and comers who then eventually do become stars. I mean, I recall being at Country Jam and seeing Faith Hill and Tim McGraw when they were nobodies and going, God, these guys are good, you know, and they turned into something. Seeing Alan Jackson when he was much younger and, again, just an up-and-comer. I'm not the world's biggest attender of live concerts, but that is one of the best things is when you see somebody who isn't a star yet and go, they just might make it.
Yeah. I always love finding new music. That's kind of like a goal of mine that I have, is to find someone before they come big. And that's just, yeah, country, you can do that.
I recall it was in college. And so obviously, again, we're going way, way back. But I remember working at the college radio station, and there was somebody there who she loved finding all the new music. And she was just so insistent that this group, Tears for Fears, was coming up. They were going to be the big thing. And they were. They had one hit, then another. And then I remember talking to her, like, I don't know, a year or two later, and saying, boy, I'll bet you're really loving all this Tears for Fears music. And she was like, oh, no, they're old news. you know, she was only about finding, you know, the up and comers and the new ones. And, you know, good for her. That worked out. So like I've had a lot of opportunity to go to concerts, but I don't know that anybody has better concert stories than I do. And by stories, I mean things that you'd play the sad trombone on. We've talked before about how at my high school prom, the entertainment, the musical entertainment, was Florence Henderson of the Brady Bunch and Tennessee Ernie Ford, because they were playing at the celebrity dinner theater next door where we were having prom. So you had to sit through that show before you could go to our prom in another ballroom and see a local band that was playing. That was one story.
That
my
rocks.
First people talk about first concerts. Okay. Who you saw at your first concert? My first concert, Donnie and Marie. And why? Because they were playing at the Minnesota State Fair. Donnie and Marie had, you know, this show on in the 1970s. And my sister was absolutely gaga for Donnie and Marie and wore my mom down to the point where, you know, and she had to take all the kids. So there we all are, you know, all four kids, you know, and I'm the oldest. And then, you know, the three younger ones are all there in the stands. And so I can't fix it. Donnie and Marie was my first concert. And I got one more. Again, one of my earliest concerts would be Helen Reddy. Because I was my high school girlfriend at the time was married to, or not married to, sure, her father was an executive at 3M. And this was at the 3M annual dinner, which was at the St. Paul Civic Center back in the early 80s. And I mean, this wasn't just like a company dinner. This was like with live entertainment. And out comes Helen Reddy singing I Am Woman and some of her other things. So I don't have the most auspicious list of early concerts, but I definitely have the ones that can tell a story.
You've got luck, it seems like.
I've got luck of some kind. Yes, that would be one way to put it. I wanted to see if anybody had added on to this. Well, Mr. Mathers is jumping on, saying that he's become more a fan of indie folk, which he thinks gets categorized as country. Like Parker, a big fan of finding artists before they get big. Greg Box getting ready for Matt and Aaron Air, but sent me over a note saying you should check out Lady Bird. Great band with country, folk, and punk influences, and really good songwriting. So good for them. Shiju follows up. Standing outside the hall for 7 hours, getting in for the sound check, then almost forced back outside without using the bathrooms. The guards let us, but then we had to hear the sound check continue as they were doing their little bathroom break as well here. On the text line, Tom from New Berlin. Helen Reddy was my first concert at Summerfest, front row center. It's not just me. You see? Because sometimes you get taken to shows and they become the thing that you remember. On the other end of the spectrum of live shows are the ones that you think they were a one-hit wonder, and then you realize they actually have much more talent than they let on. In my case, it was Rick Springfield. Remember Jesse's Girl? And a couple of other hits from the 80s and 90s. Why am I asking Parker this? Of course not.
Exactly.
Anyway, you're thinking, you know, that Jesse Springfield, he's a one and done kind of thing. Well, he was appearing at Rockfest in Kadot. And we were there to see other groups. It escapes me who it was. Maybe it was Boston that year or Heart. I'm not sure. Anyway, Rick Springfield's on the undercard. Rick Springfield had the crowd eating out of the palm of his hand by the time it was done. He was a true showman. The way he was working the crowd, there was so much energy. People were singing along to, I think he had three top 40 hits, you know, besides Jesse's Girl. They were singing along to that. And you're thinking, I'm cheering like crazy for Rick Springfield? But again, it comes down to, are you, you know, can you put on a show? And if you can, you know, well, that's great. You know, good for you.
I would rather see a really good storyteller than a, like, really good singer. You know what I mean? Like, somebody who can actually put on a show and just be fun with you for an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Well, not everybody is, because when I've mentioned Alan Jackson, Alan Jackson's never been, shall we say, an electric performer. He literally just stands there and plays guitar. But the songs were so good, you know, telling a story or whatever, that people naturally followed along. Alicia puts up on YouTube, mine were all Christian rock. And then Shizu adds, there's some decent Christian rock bands that you don't even realize are religious. That's a whole discussion right there, is Christian rock. And the ones that are, I'm going to say the word preachy, and people think I'm using it improperly, and those that are more in the entertainment storytelling end of it, like country and like other genres as well. It's why I'm glad there's a Songwriters Hall of Fame, not just the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because I mean,
didn't know that.
I didn't know. Wow. Oh, well, we're going to have a conversation sometime about the Songwriters
okay.
Hall of Fame, because sometimes it is the person who's doing the singing. There are plenty of singers in the Songwriters Hall of Fame, but, you know, then others, they're just behind the scenes. Adam puts up, Arlo Guthrie is one of the best live storyteller musicians that's out there. Certainly have heard that as much as well. So you need that whole package to get things done. And some artists, they have staying power. There was Rick Springfield all those years later. And folks who listened to the show remember last year, or no, earlier this year? When the heck was it? No, it's late last year. Where did I take Sherry to see Air Supply when they were in Milwaukee? And they were marking that they had been together for nearly 50 years, and there they are in Milwaukee singing I'm All Out of Love and Lost in Love and all the other love songs that Air Supply does, and they put on a good show. You know, a good show is going to sell regardless.
Yeah. I enjoyed seeing Hozier, if you know him at all. He's from,
I do. Yep.
Yeah, he's from Ireland. Really good show. He was so fun. He's just a funny guy. That's what mm-hmm. I need. It's just somebody that's got a good personality.
Is he the one that had the big hit last year, You're Too Sweet for Me?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
I say that only because, and I'm not ripping the song, but you ever notice sometimes there's a song and it's the one you hear every time you turn on the radio?
Yeah.
that was for me for 2024. It was, you know, if I'm just moving around on music stations, and it was like, every time I hear him going, I take my whiskey neat, you know, a coffee black, I'm a bed at 3. Like, yes, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And especially since, and now we're really getting into songwriting here, said the guy who's never written a song.
Me either.
But there is a difference in a song like that where it's the same chorus, and you hear that same chorus repeated like 6 times through the song. It kind of, for me, it gets a little irritating. Contrast that to writers like, say, Billy Joel. Or I think Stevie Wonder was another one of them. Like the second chorus will always be a little bit different. And then you'll come back to the first chorus, you know, after the third verse. That little bit of variety in songwriting, I really come to appreciate. Don Henley is another one. If I could talk to Don Henley, there would be a little bit about the Eagles. But I really would want to know more about his songwriting, because his lyrics are just so, so good. I don't know if you have anybody like that you wish you could talk to about, you know, what inspires them.
Oh, I don't know. I got to think about that. I got to listen to more music. Like, I know I said that I like to find people before they're big, but I've got to listen to, everybody needs more music in their life. It makes you happy. The good stuff.
Let's go out with Shizu on YouTube. Can we talk about Baby Shark? In terms of lyrics. And now that's going to be stuck in my head for a little while. We will wrap things up for this Wednesday morning, May 28th, coming up in just a little bit. Again, a reminder to sign up for our newsletters, plural. There are all kinds now, including a weekend one that I put together for Sunday mornings. Sign up for those newsletters at upnorthnewswi.com. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. Doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids!
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win!
Get those oars ready. It's time for Rafter Baseball. Your Wisconsin Rapids Rafter season is here, and there's never been a better time to get to legendary Winterfield. They have new and classic promotions going on all summer. And remember, if you can't get to the park, every hit, every pitch, every win is at 97.5 WFHR. We will have every game broadcast here as it's been for 16 years. Get to know the team with our segment, Meet Your Rafters, and listen for ticket giveaways. It's going to be a memorable summer with your Wisconsin Rapids Rafters and your 97.5 FM WFHR. Let's play ball!
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Meet Jeff. He is having a party. Unfortunately for Jeff, Mother Nature had other ideas. Don't be like Jeff, cold and wet. Call Party Envy Rentals today for any party, big or small, at 715-465-0122.
Make your party even better with Giant Backyard Games. Party Envy is here for your graduations, weddings, corporate picnics, and more. Make your event the talk of the town with Party Envy at 715-465-0122.
We're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Terry, we were talking about when the kiddos are a little bit in the teenage and or younger and getting into school and stuff. But before that, we want to help out as well because we're talking about the diaper drive.
I mean, yeah, we are. We're having a lot of conversations about, you know, how we impact kids and provide people with the supplies and items that they need. And so this was a response. Last year, we held the first one. To just hearing from community partners.
Last year's was really successful, too. I meant to bring this up the other day with you. I'm still blown away when I think about
15,000 diapers.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, that's pretty
that's
cool.
Really
for a first.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah.
So we are currently collecting diapers.
And one family used all of them.
No, they're still using them.
They're still using them. Yeah, this is like one kid.
We are collecting diapers, wipes, and pastes and creams for local programs that are hearing from community members that, you know, I need diapers, I don't have access to, or I have diapers, but I don't have enough, right? And so then that becomes a cleanliness, a health, you know, issue with children. So we responded last year again with our first diaper drive and continued it this year. And we're seeing a nice response. I also had the opportunity to write a grant, which leveraged some dollars to supplement what we receive in donations. And so our goal is that from Mother's Day to Father's Day, you know, we leverage as many as the community will support. And then we will be distributing those to three locations in Southwood County, to First Choice Pregnancy Resource Center, the Family Center, and the Food Pantry. This is where people who have these needs are presenting. This is also an opportunity for our resource specialists at 211 to say, you know, I understand that you have this need. Here's where you can find, you know, here's where you can go. We don't have the capacity. We've been seeing some United Ways popping up their own like diaper banks. We don't have like the physical capacity. Our building is small. And then you run into like, well, do you spend money on a location when you really could just spend the money on the diapers, right? Because these organizations that I mentioned that we are partnering with, they're already seeing the clientele, right? So we can just get them the supplies they need. So again, you know, thinking through not duplicating and cost and all of that. So those are the three distribution locations in Southwick County. We expanded this year to the Adams County part of our service area as well. So collecting diapers there, and then those will be distributed through UW Extension, Adams County, and some of their partners. So, you know, I think we've got a good thing going. And again, you know, trying to really listen and hear what the community needs are. And we had a great response last year, and looking forward to the same as this continues up through Father's Day.
We appreciate everybody who has already donated. Continue, keep that going, everybody. It's a great investment in their future and helping out those that could really use it. Appreciate you.
And just one other thing regarding diapers. The greatest need is actually the largest sizes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, while there's less in the box for the same price, right? You get more newborn size diapers than you get size six. But what we're hearing, the feedback we're getting is that sizes, you know, if you're thinking, oh, I'll go buy a bag of diapers, what we're hearing is size 4, 5, and 6 are just really where the greatest need is. So just consider that if you're thinking about supporting this, that's where the greatest need lies.
We're speaking with CEO of United Way of Southwick and Adams Counties, Terry Johns. And Terry wanted to talk about another event and then spend some time a little bit on 2-1-1 with you. But just again, some breaking news here for everybody. I was talking with Stephanie yesterday a little bit, and I have agreed after a long negotiation to be a judge again once more for United Weekend. We worked it out somehow with all my,
So you're paying us?
Needs and everything. Yeah, well, that's really what it comes down to. I was trying to have to pay you less. And actually, somehow I'm paying you guys more than... No. I love being a part of this, a tiny little part of the United Weekend event. It is probably my favorite event you guys do every year. It's such a... Because of the combination of things, I have admitted many times one of my bigger passions is hunger in our country, and something I've paid attention to since I was a little kid. But I love the idea of how much of a community event this is. And the more and more... It feels like every year it just becomes more and more of such a community event that everybody gets a part of. Last year, I was talking to somebody at one of the last week of the season, went to a game in Winter Field. I'm talking to somebody, and they were talking about this event for this year and looking forward to it. They did not even know I worked at the radio station, didn't know I knew you or anything like that. I thought it was just really cool to hear. I know how much people enjoy this because it's a fun event. We're going to a Rafter game. We're going to see a Rafter win, and we're doing some good. This community does this better than anybody, having fun while also raising funds or helping out a community, people.
Yeah. So when you think about the history of this event, we said we have a lot of really great food programs that are meeting, almost able to meet all the need that we're aware of, right? Because sometimes we just don't know, what people need or how much people need. But we took it from the standpoint of, how do we educate the community that there are hunger challenges here, in our community? So that was really what made us think, oh, let's do, let's hop on the food sculpture contest, because it just educates the general public who otherwise just aren't thinking about it. They haven't had a need. They haven't been asked to donate, whatever. But they just might not have found themselves in the space where they understand that there's hunger issues. So, that was kind of what started it. And then the food from the sculptures is the bonus, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea is anyone who attends the Rafter game comes, sees the sculptures, maybe asks some questions. Maybe they don't. Mm-hmm. Maybe they learn a little bit about hunger by listening to some of the statistics that are read. Or maybe they, we have an opportunity to do a collection during the game. Maybe they reach in their pocket and throw all their change in the bucket. Maybe they throw a five in the bucket. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity, like just right now in real time for a couple of hours, to be thinking about the hardship that someone else, maybe that they're sitting next to, might be experiencing. And then the true bonus is the next day our local food programs come and they get to pick up the food, and it goes back into, it goes to their organizations. And so when someone presents at the food pantry, now maybe there's, 40 more cans of corn because it was used in a sculpture, and that kind of, that's the bonus. But really, our motivation and the idea behind it is to just have the general public understand that we do have hunger challenges here in our community. So this event is taking place on June 17th. It is a Tuesday night. Happens at the Rafters. The game is 6:35. I have no idea who they play. Sorry, it's just not relevant to me at this point. Right.
You were just listening to The Rapids Report, a show for the community by the community. To hear the full episode of The Rapids Report, visit our website, civicmedia.us/shows/rapids-report, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Reality TV stars Todd and Julie Chrisley could walk out of prison a day after they were pardoned by President Trump.
They were given a pretty harsh treatment based on what I'm hearing.
The Chrisleys were convicted of evading taxes and defrauding banks of more than $30 million. Today marks a milestone since the October 7th attack. This woman in Tel Aviv has a relative who was taken hostage.
600 days of darkness. 600 days without freedom. 600 days of abandonment.
Sean Combs' sex trafficking trial is resuming in New York after testimony from a former assistant. CBS's Katrina Kaufman is at the courthouse.
Capricorn Clark gave a lot of very salient testimony, including two instances where she alleges that she was kidnapped by Sean Combs, had her life threatened, starting on day one of the job.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.